Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. Created and been hosting Culture Shock Entertainment Report since March 2011. Thank you. If you're a long-time listener or a new listener, thank you. Thank you for your love and your support. Global community. I am based in the deep south of the United States in Jacktown, Jackson, Mississippi. So I thank you and appreciate you. Big shout out to Big D, my cousin, and Big D, who co-hosts. She's on assignment, teaching assignment, and awesome. That's very awesome. Cousin Linda Oliver, worldwide traveler. A big shout out to the BTR community, owners, management, fellow podcasters, Pastor Dunn Jr., CEO, who he and one of his artists were guests on Thursday. If you missed it, please check out the On Demand and our replay of that broadcast. And you can check out any and every broadcast ever aired live here on Blog Talk Radio since the premiere show in March 2011. So really thank you for your love and for your support. My friend, Charisma Z of Istanbul, Turkey. 11 seconds, less than a minute. I know, that's the name of the song. I have many, many more of his tunes that I will post. And if you're a longtime listener, when I started the show in 2011, I played some of his awesome music. And I always say this, but I need to solidify a date for him to come on as a guest. So a big shout out to my Native America, Turkey, which is number two, and when it comes down to the top eight listening countries of Culture Shock Entertainment Report, Finland is number three, Canada, China, big shout out to Brazil, Romania. Just thank you so much for your love and support in each and every country, state, village, city, island. Those that are working in space at the space station, thank you. Thank you for your love and for your support. Feel free to email at cultureshockinc_beth@yahoo.com, kultureshockinc@yahoo.com. Again, kultureshockinc@yahoo.com. kultureshockinc_beth@yahoo.com. You can feel free to cash at me anything sent, and everything sent will go into reinvestment of improving the podcast. Thank you so much. Elevation, right? Elevation. So that would be $ BETHBTRU, KULTRESHOK. $BETHBTRUKULTRESHOK. PayPal.me/@BETHWMSBTRU. PayPal.me/@BETHWMSBTRU. PayPal at BETHWMSBTRU. May God grant me the words to speak his thoughts, and may God bless this program, this live broadcast. I bless all listeners and their families and loved ones and cohorts and any callers that call in and those that are enter the chat room. And also remember to create your listener profile if you don't have a listener profile so you can chat in the chat room and mingle with the BTR community. It's really fun to, you know, to chat in the chat room and mingle with the various podcasters on this number one. One of the first and not one of the best. And, well, I need to make sure and check my record. So I'm saying number one, somebody might say, yeah, it's not number one, but we're the largest and one of the first. I can't say that. So thank you again. And here is Pastor Dunn, Junior CEO, artist Dee Foster. I told her I would keep her song on the playlist for a minute. I love her song. Check her out on all your favorite music platforms also. Dee Foster. Pastor Dunn Jr. is an artist who also appeared on the broadcast on Thursday night when he shared advice on how to give effective elevator pitches. Awesome, awesome show. So, again, if you missed it, check it out. Happy Mindful Monday, Motivating Monday, right? Some people would say Making Money Monday. And definitely financial, this is Mindful Money, and we started talking about mindfulness, living mindful lifestyles in early summer. And Cousin Linda and I, and those of you that have called in and chatted. So we focused a lot on our health and our well-being, but just like our health is important. And a lot of things that affect our health, some things with some of us, even billionaires, trillionaires, I mean, the topic of money affects our health. And sometimes money can't buy the perfect health, but we can be responsible about how our financial situation, we can be more literate on our financial situation, what I was just trying to say, so I had to reword that. So it's important for us to do our best to live a mindful lifestyle in our mind, keeping our minds healthy, keeping our bodies healthy, our spirit in the right place, in a good place, regardless of where we are religiously, but spiritually it's important to, you know, have our soul in the right place and a place that's in alignment for good things to happen. Our health, our financial health, financial wisdom, financial literacy is very important. I am a person who, and many of you are not alone, because I've been hearing a lot about silent depression is happening, is going on TikTok and throughout social media, where a lot of people coming out regarding what's going on with inflation and with money, and everybody seems to be affected, not everybody, from the very wealthy to those that don't have a pot to pee in. Yes, I can say that. you know, some of you all know that saying. I know you know that saying. Don't have anything, don't even have a pot to pee in. But we all are in the same boat when it comes to being more knowledgeable. If you notice, even our trillionaire friends and billionaire friends and multimillionaire friends, they're always trying to find out effective ways to expand their businesses and how to have a healthier life financially. That when we're financially set, if it's from a minimum wage job or being very wealthy, it's important how we manage our money and maintain our money and get our money and invest our money and save our money. And I didn't even realize it's Shark Tank week two on Good Morning America as I introduced us to discuss money. This is like financial literacy 101, but in future shows, we'd like to have experts come on and talk about money. Even some of my friends, because some of my friends who would like to share their stories, and you all are my friends, listeners of the show, so any of you that would like to come on and share financial advice, do's and don'ts, of how to get things right. How to get things right. One thing Grant Cardone speaks of, and Dan Merrill, who I am students of, you know, being earning money, have multiple sources of income, and being consistent. Even my Avon coach, she and her husband, I mean, they have become millionaires from their Avon business and able to invest in real estate, therefore having multiple streams of income. So it's very important for us to know this from on any level that we are on, we can always make things better. I'm working on making things better. You all know that. I'm very transparent on things that I need to handle. I grew up in my mother taught me how to be responsible with money. But, you know, we all make our own mistakes and things, and bad things happen to good people, right? And I brought up the part about the silent depression because I didn't know about that hashtag going on until last week where people have been shared this wife and mother had shared on TikTok about how this inflation is just kicking her in the butt. And she was just amazed at the millions of viewers that agreed with her on what we're dealing with. So let's talk money also on Mindful Monday and every day, because it's our situation every day, getting that bag, right? And saving the bag and investing the bag and all of that, and teaching one another how to manage money. But financial literacy or financial wisdom is a set of skills, knowledge, attitude, and behaviors that are necessary to make smart financial decisions and ensure the economic well-being of the family. So financial literacy, financial wisdom. So how do we get financial wisdom? And I'm not reading from this, directly from this pamphlet that I've had for ages that have good information. It's very small. Have you noticed the smallest, thinnest books have the most viable information? But this is from GN20, 10 Pieces of Financial Wisdom to Live by Nicola Booth. And this is an article that was written last year in September. And 10 Pieces of Financial Wisdom to Live By, it got my attention before I shared what I decided to share. Money can be a challenging topic to talk about. And it can, you know, and that's something that my prayer partners talk about. Prophet Anthony Friday Sr., Missionary Bolden, his wife, First Lady, Mrs. Emma Friday, how, you know, they're really not ones to really talk about money. They talk about sowing, planting seeds, and praying for miracles, the importance of tithing offerings. And that's my home church, same with my Reverend Pastor Gary Adams Sr. and his wife, First Lady Denise Adams. You know, it's very important. All of us know it's important. Whatever religious belief, that it's important for us to pay our tithes and offerings and plant seeds. That goes across the board and across any religious faith, right? So, but some people will, and I was talking with a friend last week, people will go to the Bible and or ask for prayer about anything, but really, some of us are not, I guess we're literate on how to pray for direction of getting money, of making money, of earning money. And the our holy books, the Bible, the Quran, our holy books are filled. In my case, I identify as Christian. The Holy Bible is full of scriptures that help us with our daily lives in attracting money, in making money, or with our God-gifted talents and our gifts and on our job. It's there, right there in black and white, in our holy books, in the Holy Bible and the Quran and other Bibles. Other holy books, but like I said, I'm Christian, so I identify, you know, I talk about the Bible. But then also, it's just just discipline, having the proper discipline. But let me go ahead and read this information. Money can be a challenging topic to talk about. What we learn about money comes mostly from our parents. For better or worse, those financial habits and become ingrained in us as adults ourselves now. It takes mental effort to change the way we think about earn, use, and save money. Looking to see if anyone's calling in. While your parents are probably giving you good intention advice, there are pieces of financial wisdom to live by that they may not have covered. These nuggets are tried and true. They're signs that you are cultivating good financial health and a positive relationship with money. 10 pieces of financial wisdom to live by. Don't spend more than you earn. You know, we often hear live beneath your means, right? But this is probably one of the most basic pieces of financial advice you'll hear over and over again. But for good reason. Spending more than you earn not only can cause you to rack up debt, but it can destroy your credit score. Yes. You all know that's, if you, any of you have been reading my mind, that's what I've been thinking about. It can also make it difficult to climb out of a financial hole. People often spend more than they earn because of lifestyle inflation. In other words, you might be trying to keep up with the Joneses, or more accurately these days, your favorite Instagrammers, bloggers, and YouTubers. And that's a whole nother subject, right? Yeah, we're going to talk about how we can make money, too, during this series of financial literacy. This is just the beginning, y'all. If you're not living within your means, it's time to reevaluate your current budget and spending. The specialist at Lexington Law suggests, determine your goals, what do you hope to achieve, and by when. Map out the specific steps you'll take to get there. The end result of any budget should be living within your means. Not spending more than you're earning. But a good longer-term goal would be to save up to 20% of your income each month. Keep a budget of your cash flow, income, and expenses for 3 months. Are you consistently spending more than you earn? Are you spending close to what you earn? That's a sign you're living above your means. Adjust your budget by starting to pay yourself first. Piece of wisdom number. Consider your credit score as a ranking of your financial health. A low credit score means that lenders see you as more of a risk to lend money to. It also means you might be missing payments to lenders and on your bills. You may also have a high utilization ratio. So it's important to always calculate. These two things are a sign of poor management, money management skills. Missing payments and racking up debt are two huge red signs that your spending and lifestyle are out of alignment with your current income and probably your financial goals too. If you do check your credit score and are surprised at what you see, it is a good idea to reach out to someone who specializes in credit repair. Having someone who is knowledgeable in the world of credit repair and who will advocate on your behalf is invaluable when it comes to unfair negative items on your credit report. To learn more about credit repair services at Lexington, go to Lexington Law. I like Lexington Law. To begin improving your credit score beyond credit repair, start making your payments on time. Then begin reducing your utilization ratio by adding any new balances to open lines of credit. Beyond that, try to make more than the minimum payment when possible. Avoid opening new credit lines of credit until your utilization ratio is below 30%. You can do it. Acknowledge your financial weaknesses. You know, let's not be in denial. Are sales where you're likely to overspend? Do you buy too many drinks on a night out? Are you spending too much on your rent or car payment? Do you make impulse purchases late at night? Sometimes we can just look at how much we pay when we go, when we eat out, or, you know, a call for food delivery. So sometimes 10 and 15 and 20, and if it's just one or if it's a family, sometimes, you know, we need to think about, we need to, you know, and then yeah, that's a whole other topic. Well, because Linda and I talked about grocery shopping, right? It's a whole other topic. But identifying your financial weaknesses, or to phrase it another way, what triggered you to spend money unnecessarily? can help you make more wise financial choices that are in line with your goals. Looking at your expenses is a way to begin identifying these triggers. Are you ordering things late at night? Do you spend the most money in lunch out during the week? Guess what I was talking about. Knowing exactly what your weaknesses are can help you build systems to avoid them. Okay, automate your savings. Pay yourself first. The very first thing you should do when you get paid is transferring a set amount to your savings. We need to pay ourselves first. Whether this is a personal savings account with your bank or investment account, pay yourself first. Very important. Before that even happens, though, you should be making contributions to your 401k through work or your Roth IRA. Retirement savings are important for us, for those that are 20-something, to look out for yourselves in the future. And remember, this article is by Jen. Also, it's not predictable what retirement will look like for any of us, but it's important to have a nest egg to see how we can live through our golden years and make great financial moves. Figure out what retirement savings accounts are best for you, and then pay yourself first. Set up savings to be automated. As an example, say you get paid on the 1st and the 15th of the month, go through the automatic transfer process at your bank, set up recurring transfers to your savings account for the 3rd and the 17th. This gives you enough time to make sure your paycheck is deposited and any pending payments have gone out. Make sure to determine how you will allocate your savings. Say you want to add $500 to your savings accounts every month in addition to your retirement savings. You might do something like transfer $200 to your house down payment fund, move $100 to your travel fund, transfer $50 to your fund, transfer $150 to your long-term savings or investment account. Setting these transfers up to go automatically means you don't even have to think about saving. It's also done automatically for you. Then the rest of your money is yours to spend on your fixed and variable expenses. The best way to save the automatic way. Don't buy something unless it makes sense. The author states that we can thank their father-in-law for this nugget of financial wisdom. I'm not sure what he meant to really pass this along to me, the author writes, but it's something that has stuck with me for years now. And the author makes an example that she and her husband don't own a car. Every year they go back and forth on whether or not having a car will enhance their lives and make things simpler. They primarily rely on demand car services, car share apps, and our own 2 feet to get us around. Buying a car would not be an upfront payment and car payment insurance, parking, gas, and car maintenance. Sure, having their own car means they would come up and go as they please. They could make last-minute trips instead of having to reserve car days or even weeks ahead of time, and they cannot share with other people. All that sounds really nice, but to be honest, she states, however, there are a few downsides as well, primarily the cost of setting up a car. Something goes wrong, we have to pay to fix it. But there's so many. AAA, there's so many programs that you can get with. And then, you know, you can go to your dealership and get things taken care of. It's just me. I'm car shopping myself. Definitely need a car. But it all depends on, you know, the area you live in and where you travel. Something goes wrong, we have to pay to fix it. In 6 years of being carless, we have spent less on transportation than we would have simply to own a vehicle for 1 year. All of this means we can save more money for our financial goals. So, you know, it's evaluating your own lifestyle and your habits. Now, this is a pretty big expense to use as an example. However, this logic can be applied to anything, and that's a very good example because we know our lifestyles and we know where we can cut, and what we know what we need, and we know what we want. That's another thing that my Avon coach talks about. You know, take care of our needs and Then we can have it. I won't. Now, this is a pretty, it was like my mother's philosophy, too. However, this logic can be applied to anything. Does it make sense to buy something you weren't considering purchasing just because it's on sale? Does it make sense to order takeout again when you have leftovers in your fridge? No matter how attractive something might seem, it doesn't make sense if it's not in line with your financial goals. Try asking yourself if it makes sense to buy what you're about to check out with. Will life go on if you don't buy this now? I found that it does. Then there's number six. Keep your fixed expenses as low as possible. Next to your income, the thing that rules your budget the most is fixed expenses. These are the bills and costs you must pay every month. If you're not paying them, chances are you have low credit and poor financial health. Bills are not optional. Exactly. Gotta pay those bills. Bills, bills, bills. You are obligated to pay for the goods and services that you consume and sign up for. According to the 50-30-20 rule, your fixed expenses should be no more than 50% of your take-home income. And the writer agrees. That said, also, the writer says that the fixed expenses should aim for or around 30% of your take-home income. My Instagram friends, I am Instagram friends of a lot of financial advisors, and I need to invite some of them on because I reshare those of you that interact with me on social media. You see my posts. I reshare a lot of my Instagram followers' posts. Awesome, awesome, awesome regarding money. This isn't always possible given the cost of living. However, I don't think that should stop from getting them down as low as possible. Once you have a handle on how much of your take-home income is going to your fixed expenses, it's time to trim the fat and reduce expenses as much as possible. As an example, the specialist at Lexington Law suggests examining your spending habits is likely to raise some red flags. Eight more minutes of live streaming. Do I really spend $1,200 a year on cable? I spent way too much on shopping and dining out last month. I can't believe my electric bills are so high. There are just a few of the thoughts that may be swirling in your head. Consider cutting back monthly expenses, putting your resources to better use. I have been doing that, yes, yes, but I definitely need to really just look at every penny, every dime. For example, reduce and set my financial goals, too, of, you know, earning money and making money. For example, reduce your $100 cable bill to $7.99 by switching to Netflix. Use the $92 in savings to pay up credit card debt and reduce your credit utilization ratio. Whatever your strategy, embrace actions that will support both financial health and positive credit repair. Focus on financial health by reducing the bottom line. Reducing your fixed expenses means you can add more money each month to savings. Maybe you can actually go on that trip to Europe that you've been dreaming about for years. You can save for a new computer. You can pay off your student loans and mortgages faster. If you don't have the cash to buy it, you can't afford it. This applies to anything you might be considering putting on a credit card. You might use a credit card to earn points for cash back or travel rewards, but as a rule of thumb, don't charge something to a credit card that you don't have the cash to pay for. A credit card is not cash. It is not free money. A credit card is a tool to help you build your credit. Utilizing them properly can be the difference between excellent credit and a deteriorating financial situation. If you have found yourself in a tough spot, reaching out to a credit repair specialist is one of the smartest moves you can make. Living by this rule means you will avoid accumulating high-interest credit card debt. You will stick to your budget and spending goals and be on your way to living your best life. Exceptions to this are a house and a car, but those are purchases you wouldn't put on a credit card anyway. Eight, financial education is secure to your money fears, and that's what we're talking about. This is the purpose of us discussing this. To become educated and to share and to listen to experts. money can be scary to talk about for many people. We're often share our own experiences. We're often afraid of doing the wrong thing with money or making a huge mistake. It can be overwhelming to look at your credit report, have to dispute a credit card, charge or tackle a high amount of debt. Look your fear in the face and arm yourself with the best resource available. Education. Exactly. That's exactly why this is important, and it is on the agenda now. Consistently, it will be openly discussed here on Culture Strike Entertainment Report. Money education. Money can be emotional for many. It's something we often tie to our self-worth and self-esteem. Being good with money or having money doesn't make you a better person than anyone. Money is a tool that can help us live our best lives and meet our goals. The more you learn about money, the more you can get clear on the goals you have for yourself and reduce your emotional ties to money. And in the current economy, you'll want to make sure you learn more about Bitcoin education. Yep, and yes. And the future of the market. Here are a few recent posts we've covered on Gen 20 to improve your financial education. So you all check out Gen 20, and I will be sharing on my social media, on Instagram, Facebook, on my Tumblr also, and throughout my social media. Investing 101, a beginner's guide to investing for wealth. Adulting, being adult. And when I was a little girl, you know, I was all about money and helping people. How to help God? Yes, I came out the womb loving God, loving to help people. Yeah, loving beauty and fashion and art and culture and entertainment, that politics. But one thing my late mother and family members, Cousin Linda, I can tell you, I love when I learned about the free enterprise system and how money makes the world go around, the type of money always piqued my interest since I was a little girl. So I became an entrepreneur at a very young age. My first job, paycheck job, was at Wendy's. That was my first paycheck job. But I became an entrepreneur early on in elementary. But yeah, you know, that can go into getting to know me better department. But adulting and money, how to manage your first salary and benefit, adulting and money, building your emergency fund and preparing for your financial future, 5 achievable financial goals to reach by age 30, how to be financially confident when you have debt. Yes. Number 9, include room for splurging in your budget. Right. You know, exactly. I believe that leaving room in your budget for the moment so you treat yourself. Exactly. Mentality is one of the smartest things you can do. Even if something doesn't make sense to buy, like in number 5, there are times when we still buy something that wasn't in line with our financial goals. This is where your fund comes in. Exactly. It's about enjoying it. Right? Whether it's $25 or $100 each month, set aside some funds to treat yourself to something nice, or just because allowing yourself these small indulgences are actually good for your overall budget. With a fund, you can treat yourself to something nice to avoid going over budget somewhere else. You won't feel deprived and reward overspending money, psychologically for a win. And number 10, you are in control of your money. The last piece of financial wisdom that the author wants to share, leave us with, is we are in control of our money. You are in control of your money. What you spend, how you spend, the goals you set for yourself, and how you achieve them are up to you. It can often feel like we are peer pressured or media pressured into spending money and living a lifestyle that is outside of our means. Remind yourself often that you are in control of your money. Money doesn't control you. Other people don't control you. You are responsible for the money you spend and how you approach your finances. Shifting your mindset to this mantra makes you more aware of what you can do to improve your finances. If you feel like you're in control, you're more likely to make better decisions that will benefit you. If you need help, reach out to a credit specialist to warrant some of your options for improving your credit and removing unfair negative items from your credit report. Educate yourself on money and start improving your financials. And, you know, it's never too late for us to improve our financial situation. It's just like it just states, we're in control. And there we have it, 10 pieces of financial wisdom to live by. And the author says, I'm curious, which of these have you never heard of before? Now, the first one, I mean, intentionally create a fun fund. No, not just in your head, not just in our head. Not just say, oh, well, that'll be for when I want to have fun. Actually create a fun fund. No matter what your relationship is with money right now, there's always room for improvement. By setting rules and automations for yourself, you'll be on your way to a healthy relationship with your finances. And the author's name is Nicole Booth. She's founding editor-in-chief of Gen 20, Gen 30, the Capsule Collab. She has a bachelor of science degree in psychology and is author of Kidult Handbook. She currently lives in Pennsylvania with her husband and two sons. And she's not reading or writing. She's probably hiking, eating brunch, or planning her next great adventure. And the website is gen30.com. So I need to check her out. She might come on the show and talk some money with us. But this little pamphlet that I have called Managing Your Funds from Next Step, the question that they ask is, how is your financial health? If you take good care of your physical health, you know what your weight, your blood pressure, and your cholesterol numbers are. But can you say the same about your financial health? The first step in managing your finances more effectively is to have an accurate snapshot of just what shape your finances are in. By having a sound understanding of both your assets and liabilities, you can start planning a more healthy financial lifestyle. My mother was one of those people that kept record. She kept a list and kept a record of, you know, her earnings, her list, things that we needed. The fun, things that we wanted, the fun stuff. To her last day, she always believed in making a list. Money earned, money, the budget, what needs to be bought, groceries, bills paid, insurance paid, stuff like that. Always kept, it's just as easy as a pen and a pad. Now we have our phones and we have all these planning devices, digital, and, you know, we can do things old-fashioned and we can do things the state of the art. And some of us have these things right at the tip of our fingertips and we still don't assess them. But what I'm trying to say is all we have to do is do it. You know, document our expenses, document our needs, document our wants, our fun. Document when our bills need to be paid, things that we need, things we desire, things we want. You know, correct things to improve our credit scores or to keep our credit scores in good standing. It's easier. You would think it would be easy, but why are so many of us dealing with it? And that goes with all of us in all the socioeconomic brackets. Because, you know, I have conversations with my very wealthy friends, and we all sound alike. No joke. We all want to improve the way we spend money or where we're investing or what, how we're saving. What can we cut out of our budgets? What do we need? What we need? Look, some bills, you know, a lot of bills, the bills aren't going to wait. What we need to take care of. How can we make more money? We all deal with the same thing regardless, minimum wage or if we're Elon Musk. We all are dealing with the same thing. So definitely an open invitation to those of you that are experts in the financial industry and just want to share your real-life stories also. 10 signs that you may be in financial trouble. You rarely pay your bills. You frequently write checks for more money than you have in your account. Your credit cards are at or above their maximum limit. You keep applying for new credit cards because the ones you have are maxed out. You're spending more than 20% of the money you earn on credit card payments. Your balances on your credit cards or loans remain the same or actually increase every month. You are making only the minimum payments required on your loans or credit cards. You don't have a savings account or not contributing on it. Good. You are stressed and anxious about your financial situation. You are using your savings or credit cards to pay your living expenses, such as food, rent, mortgage. So what's important? It's important for us to establish. It's almost, the live stream has stopped, and it's almost time to conclude the program. But, you know, this is something we're going to discuss on Mondays and on other shows also, you know, talk about finances and business and corporate America and entrepreneurship and all of that good stuff and politics. So what's important is for us to establish financial goals, wills, life insurance, bank accounts, home ownership, and other investments, and determine our expenses, our monthly expenses, our weekly expenses, our daily expenses. But monthly is very important. Utilities, food, travel, medical, things like our clothing, you know, entertainment, savings, debt, and other expenses. So, you know, food, medication, transportation, home and heating, cooling. How do we get out of debt? Stay out of credit card trouble. Pay your bills on time. On-time payments would help you maintain a good credit score as well as save you money on late fees. Pay more than the minimum required. If you can, pay off the whole amount. If not, pay as much as you can to whittle down the debt as soon as possible. Check your receipts and your credit card statement. It is not unheard of for erroneous charges to make their way onto your bill. Double-check your receipts and your bills. If there is a discrepancy, call the credit card company. Don't take a cash advance. Most credit card companies charge higher interest rates for cash advances than for outright purchases. Don't give your credit card number to friends and keep it in a safe place. So we will continue on talking about money, getting out of debt, how we can improve our credit card scores, and those that do have very good credit scores to have to maintain. And also we will discuss where to put our money also, and ways to watch our money grow. We will discuss how we can protect our assets and property and ways to get help. Help as in financial planners. Help and advice in, you know, covering a lot of important that we need. And we will go over, I'm a word and definition type person. So we will also be going over words and definitions of certain areas of certain words that we definitely need to know about and what we need to learn about. Because if we don't know about things, how can we include them in our life, add to our living mindfulness? But again, I thank you so much for tuning in. Big shout out to the writers that they've reached a tentative agreement regarding, and I was watching The View before I came on, so the ladies of The View were so ecstatic and happy. Also, Whoopi said hopefully they'll have their writers back soon. So big shout out to the writers praying for the act. Oh, I'm an out-of-work actress, right? So, but, you know, create our own projects, right, independent projects. But big shout out, praying for the same thing that happened with the actors also. But they said we should see our favorite late night shows and other shows back in the very near future with the writers reaching a tentative deal. Definitely shouting out to the auto workers who are striking now nationally. 98 are protesting here in the state of Mississippi in Brandon at the GM plant in Brandon. Big shout out to the UAW chairperson here, Shelley Thomas. Maybe I can get her on the show. So big shout out. Now it's nationwide. And so prayfully, these workers, these union workers, and I've been a supporter of unions since I was a child, family members that work blue-collar jobs and hardworking and friends, and they have naturally been in my blood to support the union workers, and I do get invited to union events, and I am definitely praying that the best decision, and that is to meet their demands, is reached and made soon. So our president will be in Detroit on Wednesday, and former president is scratching off the second Republican debate on Wednesday to go to Detroit. President Biden will be in Detroit. So both of them are for the workers. I don't know who's not for the union workers. Honest. Here, I've seen little children out there marching on our local news. Little kids out there marching with the, I guess they might be children of some of the workers, are just a child that's compassionate and feel like, hey, mom and dad, I want to go march with them, you know? Yes, and speaking of vehicles, I had a vehicle, I'd probably be out there right now marching with them. So definitely praying for that to be resolved real soon. So thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. You are an amazing audience. I really mean that. Thank you for your prayers and your positive vibe. I'm sending out prayers and positive vibes to you around the globe and to those that are listening in space, like at the space station. I know astronaut Rubio is ready to get back to Earth and be with his wife and family and all of us. But I know he's learned a lot of things. So that is amazing to be in space for over a year, wow. But I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. It's been cool. So we will be talking about the power of prayer, finally. Power of prayer and positive affirmations on tomorrow, but thanks for Tuesday. And that will be... I scheduled a 5 a.m. show, so 5 a.m. covers. I'm working on being consistent. When I schedule it for 5 a.m., I'm working on being consistent for 5 a.m. But power of prayer and positive affirmations, how effective they are. I thank you. God bless you. Let's do this. Let's make the best of things. I've been praying about letting things go. My faith is so increased. But there are things that, let me take a deep breath in and a deep breath out and let go. So, and it's amazing. I wasn't on prayer line, and Missionary Bowden, who runs the prayer line early on, and the number of prayer lines, because it starts at 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, and my home church is having 21 days of prayer starting tomorrow. But Missionary Bolden, let me give you all the numbers, because it's at 6 a.m., 57 time of noon, every day, Monday through Friday. Powerhouse Cogent, Prophet Anthony Friday Sr., and his first lady, also Mrs. Emma Friday, 605-313-5111. The passcode is 778855 #. The passcode is 778855 #. 5 5 pound key. That's the number. Miracles happen on the prayer line. So if you're in need for prayer, I want to pray, I want to share a testimony, have a prayer request, please call. But Missionary Bowden had called to just check in on me. It's good for people to check on you. And then I had mentioned to her about my faith has increased, and I see the effectiveness on my prayers. And I love having her in as a prayer family, prayer partner. I was grateful for her checking in on me because I wasn't on prayer line, but I was doing pretty cool. Just, you know, handling some things, preparing for the day, preparing to go out and walk. I said, I am good with increasing my faith, but I need to let go. See, I'm a clingy person, and I'm clingy, too, to letting go things. So letting go and letting God is what I'm, like, praying on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Calma, calma, calma.
buzzing.
Stop at one.